Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Caroline Fenton is here today. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how are we doing today?
Fantastic. Outstanding. Ian, how are you today?
Very good, thank you.
Okay, so I want, we got a lot of things to talk about. We can start the show telling you all the things we're going to talk about, or we can just talk about it. I think we'll just talk.
I think that if we just go ahead and get into it, that would save everyone a lot of time.
TD Power Hour in 1 hour, TD at 3 o'clock on the Titans. So I asked the question earlier this week. I asked it to Ian. I asked it to Ryan. I asked it to Sean Reese. And the question was, what would Floyd say after the Chiefs and Bills win? And, you know, Ryan said, never too high, never too low. Sean said something about, you know, hey, you get beat by the Jets and then you beat the Bills and the Chiefs. You know what? And the one thing I said that I think Floyd would say is that it does not matter that you beat the Bills and you dominated the Chiefs if you lose to the Colts. And I said that, and Sean texted me back, and he goes, but is that even true? Like, you're still sitting there at 4-5-3, and you still, I said, I'm not saying whether or not it's true. I'm just saying that, like, that's something that he might say. He one time started a show, this exact segment, saying, hey, Titans are going to be fine. Any throw we'd ask Marcus to make, Blaine Gabbert can make. They'll be fine in the season finale against the Colts. And everybody knew that that wasn't true. I do wonder, of the thousands and thousands of people that listen to this radio show, especially on the day of a big game like that, I do wonder in my heart how many of the thousands and thousands that were listening to Jared and the GM that day thought to themselves or felt reassured that Blaine Gabbert could go out there and make every throw that Mariota made. I don't know. But I say this to mean this. There is some truth to the fact that none of it matters if you don't beat the Colts. And I'm not saying that Floyd would have said that. But we've spent all week kind of celebrating the idea that if the Titans win on Sunday against Indianapolis, any chance of Indy winning the division is essentially over. Here's the level of swing that you go to by winning or losing on Sunday. If you win on Sunday, Indy is 3 games back, but essentially 4 because they can no longer have any tiebreaker over you. All the other things that matter, division record, AFC record, opponent's win percentage, get your calculator out, tiebreaker, doesn't matter. You beat the Colts twice, head-to-head, you win. So it's essentially 4 games. If you lose, though, it's something that we haven't talked about. Because again, if you win, 4-game lead, plus, Indianapolis still has to play Arizona, Buffalo, and Tampa Bay, 3 of the best 5 teams in the NFL. If they don't steal one of those games, they lose the division because you play Jacksonville and the Texans twice. If you lose, though, and this is a big one, if you lose to the Colts on Sunday, which a lot of people seem to think the Titans might, my dad thinks the Titans are going to lose on Sunday, Ryan Poore thinks the Titans are going to lose on Sunday, I will make my official pick on tomorrow's show as to Titans or Colts, and I'm not completely sure how I feel yet. But I will say this, if you lose, you're 1 game up in the standings, and I don't know if you have a tiebreaker or not. The head-to-head would be a tie. The divisional record, assuming they don't lose to Jacksonville or Houston, and you don't lose to Jacksonville or Houston, the divisional record is the same. I think their AFC record right now, they lost to Baltimore. You lost to the Jets. So I think that kind of evens each other out. The Indianapolis Colts could win the tiebreaker. And at that point, now you have to win all these other games that we think the Titans should win and we want the Titans to win against the Saints, the Steelers, the Patriots, all those other games. Now they matter. Now you have to win those games, all of them, in order to feel comfortable about the division. Now the games that we're not so sure about, like the Rams, you probably got to steal that one too. Again, the difference between a win and a loss is 1 game over here, 4 games over here. You win the three you're supposed to. They lose the three they're supposed to. Seven. How crazy is that? So you asked the question today, Caroline, because this is your question.
Yeah.
Does it matter if the Titans beat the Bills and the Chiefs if they lose to the Colts? I'm going to tell you, yes, kind of, because you need those AFC wins, and you weren't likely to get them, and you're going to need those AFC wins because the expectation for Indianapolis is you're going to need them to lose in the AFC in order to get that tiebreaker for the division. But ultimately, no. Like, we're talking right now where the Titans sit in the power rankings. Titans are in one poll ninth, and they're the second. They have the second best odds to be the number one seed in the AFC behind Buffalo. And if you're the number one seed, then you can talk Super Bowl. And you lose on Sunday. Buffalo, Baltimore, Chargers, the Raiders, none of those teams matter anymore. Bengals, they don't matter anymore at all. And it literally just becomes a dogfight between you and the Colts. And this is exactly what happened last year when you lost the game, I believe, right before or after Halloween. It had to be after Halloween because I had moved into a new home at that point. After Halloween, Thursday night football, you lost to the Colts because you got a punt block, shanked a punt, didn't play well. And it was a dogfight down the stretch that required a come-from-behind fourth quarter, game-winning drive, bomb to A.J. Brown, Sam Sloman field goal in order to clinch the division on the last day of the season. I don't want that. You don't want that. You do not. We want to be talking about first-round buys and home field advantage and none of that. You can't talk about any of that if you lose this week to the Colts. So you ask the question. I'm going to tell you. Probably doesn't matter much that you beat Buffalo and Kansas City if you lose this week. That's how big of a gap winning and losing is against Indianapolis.
I hear you, and I do think that there's a lot of truth to that. I just don't know if I necessarily believe that wins against the Bills and the Chiefs, who we thought were going to be two of the best AFC teams going into this season, wins over those two teams don't necessarily matter anymore. Because just because the Titans don't lock up the AFC South against the Colts if they lose on Sunday doesn't mean that, okay, everything else that they've done this season doesn't matter. Because I think that Indianapolis, while that would be an advantage in Indianapolis's corner, and now you're even with Indianapolis when we look at the division, Indianapolis has dug themselves a pretty big hole.
They dig themselves out of it. They're one game back. One game back if they win on Sunday. That's digging yourself out of the hole. Now all they need you to do is lose to the Steelers. You lose to the Steelers.
And they win out?
No, they don't have to win out, but I'm talking about like...
But if they are one game back, yes, that's not a comfortable lead, but I don't think that it's necessarily completely over.
No, I don't think it's over either, but I'm telling you all the pomp and circumstance about being a number one seed or getting home field or the kind of matchups that you want in the playoffs, the road to the Super Bowl that we talk about.
It gets more difficult if you don't win on Sunday.
That's gone. You have no shot of winning the AFC if you don't win Sunday. The Buffalo Bills don't play anybody the rest of the year. You have no shot of winning the AFC if you lose on Sunday. No shot. I mean, like, I'm sure you have, like, I think it's 18% right now to win the AFC.
It goes down to probably 8.
I would say it probably goes down to, like, 3. Like, that is how much an AFC loss where now you're not even guaranteed to win your division, that's where that comes from. From the mental aspect, I think it really cripples you. Because now, like, every single week is just, you can't, the wins, when you're good, like, the old Titans days, the Steve McNair, Eddie George days, they just stacked wins every week. It was like stack, 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 stack. And yes, there were teams that you were worried about in your own division, but it felt like you were in control. Last year, I didn't feel like the Titans were in control. I mean, you needed the Steelers in December to beat the Colts in Pittsburgh in order to give you the right of first refusal to win your division. And we talked about this yesterday. Saints, Steelers, Patriots, three games you should win, three quarterbacks you should beat. I'm not sold you're going to win all three of those, but you don't have to win all three of those if you win this week against the Colts. I mean, at this point, I think the idea of talking about competing in the AFC is so much harder if you lose this week. Because now you're almost guaranteed to be a 3 or a 4, even if you win the division. And there's no guarantee that you do win the division. And if you don't win the division, your path to the Super Bowl is going to be going on the road to the Chargers or to the Ravens or one of those teams, and then turning around and going on the road to the Bills, and then probably having to play another game on the road at somebody good.
That's difference. It gets exponentially harder if you do not win on Sunday.
So, I'd say that all the excitement and the pump up and the Dan Graziano says it's not an overreaction to say the Titans are Super Bowl contenders. I think that goes right in the dumpster if you lose on Sunday. I mean, you think they're gonna pull the Eli Manning and go to the Super Bowl out of the sixth seed?
Probably not.
Three road games.
Probably not.
Okay. So I have a hard time believing. I mean, to me, you got to get into cruise control mode. You got to get into confident mode where you don't, like, the Colts are so, you know, they're so far behind you. It's like, yeah, screw the Colts. And then you can start worrying, and we can start worrying about the Bills and the Chargers and the Raiders and all these other teams in the AFC. Whereas if not, then it's going to be one of these week-to-week things where it's hold on to your rear ends for the AFC South fight. And I just don't want to give the Colts that kind of confidence.
Let's say, okay, hypothetically, the Titans lose to the Colts on Sunday and the Titans win out, which would be an incredibly difficult feat playing the Rams. But let's say the Titans finish the season 14-3. I would have a very hard time believing that that doesn't win the AFC South and get them a pretty solid seed.
How are they going to finish 14-3?
I don't know. I'm just saying hypothetically.
If they can't beat the Colts, which the Colts are an average...
Well, they couldn't beat the Jets and they beat the Bills and the Chiefs.
A.J. Brown didn't play in that game. The Colts are an average team. Incredibly average. Quarterback is average. Defense is average. Offensive line is gelling together, but right now they're average. They have an above average running back. Special teams average. They are an average team. If you can't beat the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday, like, yes, okay, you could go 14-3, and if you go 14-3, you're going to win the division. You may not be the one seed, because that still may be Buffalo, but you're probably going to win the division. But I don't have any faith in the Titans going 14-3. I mean, I said yesterday, Saints, Steelers, Patriots, two of which are on the road. I expect the Titans to lose one of those games. But if you win on Sunday, and then you've got, you know, Jacksonville and Houston to clean up on, you don't have to worry about it. So you don't have to worry about winning. You know, you can lose all three of those and you still win the division. And that's where we are now. I mean, that's like saying... That, like Joe's theory yesterday, that if you win Sunday, it's not over. Because in theory, the Colts could win at Buffalo, or they could beat Tampa Bay the next week at home, or they could go on the road to Arizona. But, like, we know the Colts are average, and we know all those teams aren't.
And the Titans could lose a game to the Texans or the Jags. But if we're using logic here, and it feels like they probably will not on either side.
Right. The Colts are done. You win on Sunday, they're done. You lose on Sunday, it's a dogfight to the end. It doesn't mean that you're not going to win the division. But wouldn't you have liked it last year to have been the two seed or the one seed in the playoffs and gotten to face old P-Pop Phillip Rivers in the first round at home than having to face Lamar Jackson like you did and you lost? I was telling somebody today, Arizona-Green Bay, Thursday Night Football, the most important aspect of this game for me is Arizona can set the tone by winning this game and can essentially get the NFC playoffs routed through Phoenix. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to take a dome team in Phoenix to Lambeau Field in January. Kyler Murray is from Texas. He has spent his entire life in Texas and Arizona. And you're going to put him in Lambeau Field for an NFC championship game or an NFC divisional game.
In January.
You better not. So you better win today, Arizona. Like, that's that. Like, I keep harping on this. And I've said, you know, like 2 years ago, it was just get into the playoffs. And then everything else was a bonus. The Patriots win, the Ravens win. Those were bonuses. But I don't want bonuses anymore. Like, that's why I hold them to such a high standard. I thought the Chiefs game, if anything, it proved that we should be allowed to hold the Titans to an incredibly high standard because we know that they can play at that high standard. But what you can't be is you can't be the number one seed in the AFC or the number two seed in the AFC if you don't find consistency. And if you can beat the Bills when you get A.J. Brown back and you can dominate the Chiefs with A.J. Brown, and then you go to Indianapolis with A.J. Brown and you don't play well and you lose, you're not going to be consistent, and it's going to be just like last year, and you're going to be playing Lamar Jackson in the first round or Justin Herbert in the first round or Joe Burrow in the first round on the road, and then you're going to have to go to Josh Allen in frigid Buffalo, and then you're going to have to, kind of like the road a couple years ago, Brady, Jackson, Mahomes. You got tripped up along the way. I still think if the Titans had gone to the Super Bowl that year, if they had beaten Kansas City, I think the Titans would have won the Super Bowl. I really, truly do. Now, everybody else disagreed with me, so I don't know if it counts or not. 615-737-1025. So we're starting off with this question. If the Titans lose Sunday, do all the good things that they did against Buffalo and Kansas City, does that go away? Does that matter to you at this point? I'm going to say no. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone lines today, by the way, are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I am very excited today. We got a fantastic show, and I want to tell you about the FanDuel Sportsbook app. That's right. I am telling you all, and I really, truly mean this, and I love this. I have been telling all of you about the fact that you can get a same-game parlay between these great teams, Arizona and Green Bay, on Thursday Night Football. That's right. So I feel pretty good about Aaron Rodgers. And I think if you're looking at betting the Thursday night game on a same game parlay, I'm thinking Aaron Rodgers over, even though receivers aren't going to be there. I still think Aaron Rodgers is going to light it up. So bet accordingly. There's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay, so lock in your bet today on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you're new to FanDuel, use the promo code JGM to receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code JGM so they know that I sent you. And again, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving everybody a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. 21 and over and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund, $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same-game parlay available for multiple sports in all states. On mobile and web, gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Kevin Byard said that he thinks this game is more important than the Bills and the Chiefs because of the division implications. Is that something that you agree with?
Yeah, I definitely agree. This is it's a big game for us, divisional game. We've been playing really good football, and you know, it's always tough playing these guys. But, yeah, this is a very important game.
Derrick Henry, he knows. This reminds me of a game a couple of years ago. The Titans had really dug themselves out of a deep hole, and they were playing the Texans at Nissan Stadium. I want to say it was like early December. Mm-hmm. And if the Titans won the game against the Texans, I think they would have been in the driver's seat for the division. Instead, the Texans won, so the division was kind of out of play, and you really had to focus in on just getting into the playoffs. And I remember after they lost, and Floyd was like, and we had built up that game so high, and everybody was talking about Titans-Texans showdown, Jim Nantz, Tony Romo in town. This week, I believe, it's Spiro Ditas and Jay Feely. So that
nice,
tells you what
solid.
CBS thinks of this game. But we had talked about all week, and oh my goodness, they lose the game. And I remember the next day, Floyd was like, I'm not crying in my beer over this. And I was like, I am. I mean, yeah, the division right there. I am. And the Titans ended up making it into the playoffs because the Steelers lost to the Jets of all teams. And I say this in like a roundabout way to say, hey, sometimes games just matter more. And after the Titans lose, and Derrick Henry told you that right there. Yeah, it matters more. But sometimes I feel like these teams get into this like this belief system that if they lose this game, then all we'll hear is about how, look, there's still half a season to go. We're totally fine. It's all right. It's, and I'm like, I think the number one seed is gone if you lose today. If you lose Sunday to Indianapolis. I think it's gone. And so I, just like I cried in my beer after they lost to the Texans, I'm not crying in my beer, I am. I think that there is an element of beer crying to go around. By the way,
it's just still so early.
Here's your tiebreaker scenario. Your tiebreaker scenario is, you think the Chiefs can get the number one seed?
No.
You think the Chiefs can go to the Super Bowl this year?
I don't know if they can or cannot go to the Super Bowl, but I know they definitely don't get the number one seed, and it would make it exponentially more difficult for them to get to the Super Bowl.
Tiebreakers for the division. Head-to-head record. So you win this week and gone. Division record. People forget Indianapolis lost week one last year at Jacksonville, who went 1-15. Had Indianapolis not lost that game, they would have won the division, but that was why they lost the division to you, because they lost to Jacksonville. So division record. Both teams are going to be 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
Or 5-1, if the Colts win. Common games. There are 12 common games. So, for example, you beat Seattle and they lost to Seattle, which is good.
Tiebreaker Titans.
But they're going to beat the Jets, and you lost to the Jets, which is bad.
Also true.
So you have to go through each game, as far as that's concerned, and then AFC record. So it's going to be a total cluster when you get to that third one.
Yeah.
Because there are 12 common games that will be played between the two teams. Unbelievable. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Just win. Can you say something? Can the Titans just make it easy on all of us and just win on Sunday? Indy's an average team with a loser quarterback. Can you just make it easy on your fans for one season?
And this is a thought that I had, that if we are going to have these conversations about the Titans potentially getting the number one seed in the AFC, the Titans potentially making a run for the Super Bowl, shouldn't that be a team that's good enough that we don't have to shake in our boots every time the Titans win a game and then play a lesser opponent because we're so afraid of the Titans just get crap in the bed?
Yes, but the Titans have made the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years.
Yes.
In 3 of the last 4 years in which the Titans have made the playoffs, they literally made the playoffs on the last day every time.
That is so stressful.
I'm sick of it. Can you just make it easy on your fans?
Just win Sunday, just, and then we can sip pina coladas by the pool.
And beat Jacksonville and Houston, and everything else will work itself into place. Though we will hold them to a higher standard at that point. Then we will start talking about number one seeds and home field advantage, and like we will move the bar if they win Sunday. But just, can you make it easy on everybody? Just once.
But will you relax if the Titans beat the Colts?
Will I ever relax?
No.
Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Manchester Orchestra at the Ryman Auditorium on Wednesday, November 17th? Head over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page. You'll enter for a chance to see Manchester Orchestra live. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday. Let's go to your phones. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Daniel is going to kick us off today, strangely, on Dylan Radins. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, Jared. Hey, first I want to say that I love listening to your show because of how passionate you are. And Caroline, I love how you keep Jared in line. Thanks for that. So about Dylan Radins, you were talking about Radins earlier this week and basically saying that, you know, he is not living up to expectations of the coaches, and the coaches don't like him, and he's never going to start for the Titans. And I just want to challenge that with some, I think it's Pro Football Focus numbers, some of his grades. You know, he grades very high, like high 80s on his run blocking, but he grades around 16 on his pass blocking. And I just think that what's going on is it's the wisdom of a coaching staff that knows, hey, the potential is there. This is the guy that can pave the way for Derrick Henry. But if we put him out there full games right now, we're going to get Tannehill killed. And I think they're just trying to keep him in the wings until they can know that he's going to perform at a 50 or 60% or better on the pass blocking. What do you think about that?
Daniel just said a no-no word.
Well, I don't give a rat's ass what Pro Football Focus says.
Yeah.
Dylan Radins has played 13 snaps. What are you telling me? Hey, on the 13 snaps Dylan Radins has played at guard, he ranks 88th in run blocking. Yay! Dude, first of all, what does Pro Football Focus know? If Ben Jones changes the play at the line and Radins is supposed to double-team the defensive tackle, but instead he pancakes the linebacker and the defensive tackle shoots through and tackles Derrick Henry 4 yards short of the marker, Pro Football Focus doesn't know that. They don't know what the play call was. They don't know what he was supposed to do on that play.
It sounds nice, though.
It sounds nice. Here's the truth. I mean, this is what I love about football, is everybody can tell you whatever they want to tell you. Their actions will tell you reality. right? Like, actions will tell you. Jayon Brown has been hurt each of the last 3 years. Jayon Brown has been a very productive Titan when he was healthy. He's a good linebacker. He's got some big play in him. He makes big plays for the Titans. But Jayon Brown was supposed to go out and get 4 years and 30-something million on the market, and it wasn't there, which is why he signed a one-year, $5.5 million deal from the Titans, because nobody around the league valued Jayon Brown enough to risk his injury for multi-years, including you. Like, that will tell you. Everybody tells you what they think. When push comes to shove, they tell you what they think. And so this idea of like, hey, I think the coaches realize they've just got to polish up Radins and he'll be ready to go. I'd understand that if they had a starting left tackle and a starting right tackle, or even a Dennis Kelly type right tackle, and then said, hey, this kid, he's got potential. But when Taylor Lewan came to the Titans, he didn't start right away. They had Michael Orr at one tackle, and they had Michael Roos at the other tackle. And then one of them got hurt, and Taylor went right in there. Trey Lance is not ready to play quarterback for the 49ers. But guess what? Justin Fields wasn't ready either. But when their starting quarterbacks got hurt, get in there. That's the NFL. So when you can get to training camp, and at OTAs have an idea that it's either going to be Lamb or Radins, and then decide or Sam Brailo or Quessenberry or all those guys ahead of Radins or Bobby Hart claimed off of the Bills practice squad last week.
We love Bobby Hart.
Bobby Hart. We hope he's doing he was limited, I think, yesterday with a chest.
I know. I hope he's feeling better today.
I hope Bobby's okay.
Yeah.
Bobby Hart.
Bobby, if you're listening, let us know you're okay.
The Titans know they whiffed on this guy. I think in the back of their minds, they're praying that he ends up becoming some kind of a player. Like, maybe he starts at guard down the road, and they'll say, this is what we always thought. Floyd used to joke about a guard, and he'd say, I'm not taking a guard in the first round unless it's Bruce Matthews, who goes to the Pro Bowl for 20 years in a row and into the Hall of Fame. That's the only time I'm taking a guard in the first round. I can get a guard in the fourth or fifth round. Well, now you're hoping that Radins becomes that fifth-round guard like Benji Olsen. That's what your hope is. Just say, you know what, he becomes this. But this is what's crazy about the Titans. If you were the Titans and you got to draft today, would you draft Caleb Farley in the first round?
No.
Would you draft Dylan Radins in the second round?
No.
Would you draft Monty Rice in the third round?
Probably not.
Would you draft Des Fitzpatrick in the fourth round?
No, I would not.
Okay. I mean, like, that's concerning.
That's easy for us to say sitting here on October 28th.
We screamed about it at the draft
show.
We screamed.
We did not agree with it in April either.
Chris Sanders went nuts on the Farley pick. I went nuts on the Radins pick.
Chris Sanders, the most optimistic glass half full man there is.
I mean, when they took Dylan Radins, Trevor Maddich texted me. He's like, ooh. And you know Trev is very optimistic.
I mean, their first two rounds, they picked guys who had not played football the year before.
Why can't the Titans ever make it easy on their fans? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Oh, it would just be so nice if they could just make it easy. That's all I'm asking. Just make it a little easy. It would be nice. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, is there a mental advantage for the Colts given the situation they're in? Or is it a disadvantage for the Titans? We'll discuss that next. Plus, we'll get right to your phones. Stillman and Company. Caroline, let's tell you about BetUS.
I want to tell you about my favorite sports book, and that is BetUS. The World Series is here. Hockey is back. So get in on all the action and make some money with BetUS. They've been America's favorite sports book for over 25 years. So you know that you can trust them. They have integrity. They have longevity. And you know that you are going to get paid when you win with BetUS. Plus, they offer everything. They have live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, all kinds of crazy prop bets. Anything that you want to put money on, I guarantee you BetUS has it. So call them today. and they will walk you through setting up an account. Their number is 1-800-79-BETUS. Just call 1-800-79-BETUS. Nobody in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS, so if you join now and you mention the promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, you can get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. Nobody in the industry beats BetUS. I bet with them, and so should you, so go now to BetUS.com. Join today, put in promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, for a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. That is BetUS.com.
You make it a point of emphasis at all with the players and coaches that what a win would do as far as taking up the upper hand in the division race, or do you just kind of push that aside and focus on just the game plan task at hand?
Well, we're focused on improving. We're focused on improving each week right now. We're focused on fundamentals. We're focused on, you know, the matchups that we're going to have in the game against the Colts. You know, we understand the magnitude of division games, especially, you know, on the road, how challenging that will be. I don't know if we've talked about the impact or the, you know, anything past just this week.
That was Vrabel. I think that's wishful thinking. I think everybody knows the division's at stake. When Chris Sanders said yesterday, like, yeah, everybody knows.
Yeah.
That tells me the players know.
How do you not know?
The coach knows. The coach will never say it. They know. They know.
Yes, they know.
Let's go
I
to your
Indianapolis
phones.
Knows as well.
Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Text line as well. Caroline Fenton is on the text line. What do we have in there?
We have some insight from our friend in Indianapolis, Ben.
Indy Ben.
Indy Ben Texan.
Does Indy Ben, obviously I don't read his number out of the air. Does he have a 615 phone number?
Yes, he does.
Okay. So Indy Ben lives in Nashville.
Yes. Or at least is from Nashville.
Loves the Colts.
Loves the Colts.
Listens to the radio show every day.
I think he listens to every show every day.
So it's like texting all the shows?
Well, because he texted in yesterday to the show, and he said that he texted into Robbie and Rex Road that morning.
Dude, this is my favorite, is when I see people that are like, they'll text in something like, Jared, what are we going to do about the wide receivers? And like their last text into the show was like May 14th, and it was like, I'm done listening to this show after vaccine talk. Okay. What did Indy Ben say?
Indy Ben says, average is a good word as it could also describe the Titans outside of their running back, A.J. Brown, and maybe Landry. This idea that Tennessee has a vastly superior team over Indy is misguided.
Anybody who says take the best player off of that team and what do you have? Like, that, your argument is gone at that point.
The logic
Seattle Seahawks right now are the second worst team in the NFC. They're the second worst team in the NFC. I can't tell you how good they'd be with Russell, but this is what they are without Russell. My guess is they'd be pretty good with Russell.
It was the same thing after the Buffalo game when so many Buffalo fans were saying, okay, we'll take out Derrick Henry's 76-yard touchdown run, and he only had, you know, however many yards, which is 3-something yards per carry. But, like, you don't take out the 76-yard touchdown run because it happened.
When did we become that, like, loser society that was like, hey, take away the best, and it's really not that good?
If you take away all the good things, then only bad things are left.
Like, if you take away the T on the Tesla logo off the car, it's not as good of a car.
It's just Tesla.
I mean, come on. What's next?
Jeff texts into the text line and says, if you don't understand that the Colts are not the same team now that they were when the Titans played them the first time, and if you think that they are just an average team right now, I can only conclude that you learned nothing from the time Floyd spent with you.
I don't understand how any of that intertwines with any of it. We have not mentioned what Indy was the first time that you played Indy.
Which I think that we would both agree that Indianapolis is more of a threat because it's a healthy Carson Wentz.
The Titans won that game.
We haven't even talked about it.
The Titans won that game by double figures, and I lost my mind the next day on the radio.
Yeah.
And then told everybody how scared I was that they would lose to the Jets. Which, by the way, not to sit here and say, take the best player away, but A.J. Brown barely played in that Colts game. Like, you're a different team with A.J. Brown than you are without A.J. Brown. So, anywho, we never said, to that Texas point, we never said anything about the first time you played the Colts.
Mm-mm.
We never said that the Colts are not better than they were the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the Colts last week. Like, I don't know how anybody could watch that Sunday night football game. I mean, we were listening to a national show like 20 minutes ago, and the host was like, Kyle Shanahan ought to be on the hot seat. Like, I mean, I thought that game, this is just me. I watched the whole Sunday night game. Did you watch the whole Sunday night game?
I didn't watch the whole thing, no.
Ian, did you watch the whole Sunday night game?
With the Colts and the 49ers? Off and on. No, I didn't see every play.
So I watched that game, And I really thought that Jimmy Garoppolo and the two DBs that just tackled Colts receivers before the ball got there, that was the game. Like, that was the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this. Floyd would be talking up Indianapolis right now if he was on the show. But that's because that's the coach in him that does that kind of stuff. That's like, hey, you know, they got that running back's pretty good, and they got that line.
Which is true.
I said the offensive line for Indianapolis is much improved now that Eric Fisher and Quentin Nelson on the left side are starting to gel together. And I've said I think Pittman is a good receiver, and I think Taylor's a bad boy. But I'm not – I mean, like, I don't look at the Colts. I do not see a good football team when I watch the Colts. I see an average football team with an average quarterback. Average. And that's what they're going to be this year. Their record right now, what are they right now? They're 3-4?
3-4, I think.
Okay, 3-4. Let's say they lose to the Bills, Bucks, Arizona, because they're nowhere
Which
near
those teams. Which feels kind of likely.
Teams. And they're nowhere near those teams right now. And I know it's the NFL and anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
That's 7 losses. That's average.
I mean,
now, 10-7.
10-7.
May not be the new average. But that's accounting for no other loss on their schedule.
You're not going to get fired if you have that kind of season, but I don't think it's anything that you, if you're competing with them in the division and you have a team like the Titans have, it's going to be incredibly intimidating.
I mean, at that point, you're not, when we talk about the best teams in the league, you're not there. Like, you're not one of those best teams.
You're middle of the pack.
Right, you're the Raiders.
Maybe the top of the middle.
No, because the Raiders are going to be better than that. And I think the
better
Raiders,
than 10-7?
Yeah. I mean, I think right now, I saw somebody wrote at CBS, that you can already get rid of 14 teams right now in the league that have no shot of competing this year. The difference between the haves and the have-nots is going to be wild this year. I mean, just look at the Colts' schedule, for example. Like, I think the Colts are an incredibly average team. Their schedule after this week, Jets, Jags, bad, Bills, Bucks,
good,
great, Houston, bad, New England, average, Arizona,
good.
Vegas, average to above average. Jacksonville, it's except for the Patriots and maybe the Raiders. Every team the Colts play the rest of the way is either good or bad. That's where they are right now. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company coming up next. Game 2 of the World Series went exactly as I thought it was going to go. And yet, I think baseball's got a much larger problem, even here, that nobody's talking about. We'll get to that coming up next, right here on Stillman and Company. And again, the TD Power Hour at 3 o'clock, and we will get back into your phones. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the National Soccer Club. Listen in this Sunday as Nashville SC takes on Orlando. Pre-game starts at 2:45, and the match begins at 3 o'clock. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Left side, base hit. Here comes Gurriel. He'll score, going to third with nobody there. Is Siri, he pops up, comes to the plate, 2-run score, 4-1, Astros on top.
Oh, that was some embarrassing baseball last night. That play in particular, when Eddie Rosario of the Braves threw to third base with nobody there. Who throws to a base where there's nobody there? Like, who throws to that
someone
base?
Someone who thought that there was someone there.
I mean, unbelievable. So anywho, yesterday as we were closing out the show, we were talking about Game 2 of the World Series, and I told you all I was taking Houston because Max Fried of the Braves is not a playoff pitcher. Some guys have it inside of them, and some don't. It reminds me of a scene in The Last Dance.
Oh, have you seen that?
Michael Jordan and Ahmad Rashad are sitting there in the back, right before Game 7 of the Indianapolis series, the Indiana Pacers series, Game 7, they're about to play, and they're in the back with Michael's security guards, and Ahmad Rashad goes, Game 7. Some got it, some don't. And Michael gets up and says, don't you go near Scott Burrell. Scott Burrell, a bench player on the Bulls that Michael had been all over throughout the year. And Michael's like, don't you go near Scott Burrell. Because he knows in his heart, Scott Burrell's too soft.
Like, he's not a Game 7
moment,
guy.
Some got it, some don't. And Max Fried, yesterday, I said, not a playoff pitcher. He's had too many big moments where he has just pooped his pants And yesterday was an example of when he pooped his pants. Gives up a run in the first inning. But every ball they hit was cracked. I mean, just rocketed off the bat. The Braves tie the game at one going to the second. And I'm like, okay, this is the moment of truth for Max Fried. Now, I picked the Braves to lose. And I want to say you picked the Braves to win, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I try to tell you, Max Fried does not have – he's a great pitcher in the regular season. Mm-hmm. But he does not have that, you know, fire inside of him or the ice water in the veins to go out there and dominate in the postseason. And I'm like, I called my dad after Travis d'Arnaud hit the home run to make it 1-1. And I said, this has to be a shutdown inning for Max. This is it. He gave up 4 runs. Now, in his defense, one of them was because they hit the ball. It was a ground ball, would have been a double play. And they hit into that stupid shift where nobody was because all the analytic nerds seemed to know better than everybody else. And we got a shift over here and shift over there. And then there was the play of the clip we just played where they threw the ball to third base and there was no one on third. So another runner scored and all kinds of stuff. He had some bad luck. But at some point in the playoffs and in the World Series, you got to strike somebody out. You got to take the bull by the horns. And you're going up against the best hitters in the game. But you got to strike them out. And I don't know why Max can do this where he can strike all these guys out every single time. He can strike these guys out in the regular season, but he can't in the playoffs. Here's what's crazy about Max Fried. And I told people, I said this yesterday on the show. John Smoltz, you take his playoff numbers and you compare him to Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux, and it is not even close. John Smoltz has a 2.67 ERA, and he's 15-4. Maddux and Glavine, Hall of Fame pitchers, have losing records in the playoffs. But like Glavine is like, I want to say something around like 14-16 with a 3.8, which that's fine. Mm-hmm. Max Fried is 1-3 in the playoffs with a 4.53 after last night. Take away his dominant start in the wild card series last year, which was a made-up series that only happened because they needed more money after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. He has a 4.96 ERA in the division series, a 4.24 ERA in the NLCS, and now a 10.80 ERA in the World Series after last night. Whoa. He does not have the fire inside of him.
That is bad.
And here's why it's bad for the Braves. Because now they're going to need him to pitch again. They don't have any other choices. Ian Anderson, who does have that fire, I mean, he's got a sub-2 ERA. He's 3-0 in the playoffs. They've given him the ball in game sixes and game sevens, and he has been great. Ian Anderson goes in game 3, and he's going to go again if there's a game 7. They're going to use their bullpen in game 4 and probably game 5. Max Fried has to pitch again. And Max Fried probably has to win. And I don't think he's got the fire inside of his belly. If you went into this and you knew, okay, you get 2 starts out of Charlie Morton, which you're not going to get
anymore.
You're going to get 2 starts out of Max Fried.
Which you don't necessarily want anymore.
And if necessary, you're going to get, you know, 2 starts out of Ian Anderson, or at least 1 out of Ian Anderson. Mm-hmm. You'd say, okay, if we can win both of Charlie Morton's starts, get 1 from Max Fried, then you just have to get 1 win somewhere else. But you're not going to get a win from Max Fried because he doesn't. You could see his glove shaking on his hand, you know, when he was, because he was squeezing so tight. He was so nervous.
Oh, poor baby.
And then I tweeted out, I said, I go, you know, he's not a postseason pitcher. And then after he gave up the 5 runs, he went another 3 or 4 innings, didn't give up a run. And people were like, well, what do you do now, Jared? I'm like, because the pressure's off. You're down 5-1. Now you're going out there. It doesn't matter if it's 7-1, 8-1.
You're losing.
Yeah, like you're going to wear it no matter what. Like you're just going, pressure's off now. Kyle Wright, who is the most puckered up starting pitcher I've ever seen, he got out there and struck out the side in his 1 inning of work yesterday because they were down 7-2. So, I mean, I don't think the Braves are done. Some people have it, some people don't. And I think it's pretty obvious Max Fried doesn't have it. And I don't know if you can win this series with Charlie Morton hurt if Max Fried doesn't have it.
I mean, yeah, it definitely puts the Braves in a really uncomfortable position. But it just felt like throughout the entire game last night, the Braves were almost feeding off of Max Fried's energy of just like, what's going on here? Why doesn't this team look like this team? Why doesn't this team look like how it normally does? Why does Max Fried not pitch like he normally pitches? This entire team just looked incredibly off. Frazzled.
He's
a complete night and day difference from the game before.
He's going to have to pick it up. And Charlie Morton loaded the bases in the first inning, and I wasn't worried about it.
He looked cool as a cucumber, no problem.
He's a big game pitcher. Ian Anderson's a big game pitcher. John Smoltz was a big game pitcher. Steve Avery was a big game pitcher. Maddux and Glavine weren't big game pitchers. Now, they weren't as bad as Max Fried. But, I mean, this is one of those ones where if baseball was a more popular sport, Max Fried would be getting the business today. He'd be getting treated like Lamar Jackson after the Titans beat the Ravens in the playoffs. And every hot taker out there was like, Lamar can't win in the playoffs. 14-2, 0-2 in the playoffs. Lamar. But they're not treating him like that because there's just not enough people to care about baseball or watch it closely enough to be able to have those kind of opinions. But that's what Max Fried is right now. You can't trust him. You cannot. And it's so obvious. And it feels, so, to your point, I feel so bad for him because he looks like he's standing on an island out there. And that's what it looked like last night. TD, the Teron Davenport Power Hour is next. What does TD think about the Titans after their big wins over Buffalo and Kansas City? And we'll get his thoughts on the Colts game as well. And we got a Harold Landry thing, too, we'll get into. That's coming up next. I will be at the World Series tomorrow, so let me tell you about Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. There's no better way to enjoy the Fall Classic than with ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. And when I say Fall Classic, you all know what I mean, but we've also got great football going on right now. Basketball and hockey have started, and it's starting to get a little cold. Nothing will keep you warm like that ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Goes down so smooth, and it tastes so great. That's right. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.